This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Depressing part of it was it seemed like no one really cared.
Airing every day from
noon to three.
And to me, this is one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know if he should be fired, but if he was a fireman, I feel like he just brought gasoline to the blaze instead of a water hose. If he was a nurse, it's like he just pulled the plug on a healthy patient. If he was a waiter, he just peed in the kid's lemonade. You get the point. You compare it to other occupations. Mm-hmm. I mean, not saying he should be fired, but this is a pretty bad offense.
On 1340 WKGN.
I feel like if you pulled the plug on a healthy patient, they would just live. Like, if you pulled my plug right now, like, my heart would keep beating.
You get the point. Good point by you, but you understand what I was going for here.
You boys. All right, we're back in the White Claw Studios. Hour two. Yeah, Draven, you got some headlines.
Well, let's get it rolling. Got some headlines for you guys. Special day today. Hayden's birthday, and it's my special little lady's birthday as well. Old Dolly Parton. How about that? Hayden turning 75. Sharing a birthday with a legend. How does that feel?
Feels great.
You know?
Mac Miller as well.
Oh, yeah. Shout old out. Mac. Shout out. RIP to Mac. Shout out to Dolly. Yeah, Dolly Parton turning 75 years old today. Maybe they should get her involved in the head coaching search. What do you think? I feel like she can't do anything wrong, right?
Be better than Peyton Manning,
man. Yeah, exactly. I feel like she can't do anything wrong. So, yeah, happy birthday to one of the UT legends.
Well, let's just hire Dolly.
Why not? She knows how to run a show. Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so some other news. Delonte West in the NBA, former NBA player. Saw the kind of the pictures and stuff depicted a few months back, that Delonte West, he appeared to be homeless, was looking pretty rough. And, yep now it appears he has a job at a rebound therapy center in Florida, which is the rehab facility he attends. So, really good news there. And, yeah, a little shout-out. Mark Cuban was the one who reunited West with his mother and was able to kind of check him into the facility and everything. So, really good news. Positive news coming out of that situation with, again, former NBA star Delonte West. Some NFL news. Looks like Mark Ingram, veteran running back, going to be released by the Baltimore Ravens. Probably no surprise here. Yep. Got J.K. Dobbins up and coming, and Ingram, who was a surprisingly healthy scratch for the four of the final five games for the Ravens this season. Ingram, 31 years old. Former Heisman winner there at Alabama. Yeah, he is going to be released. We'll see if anybody picks him up here in free agency. So some news there. Some other news with the NBA. Did you guys watch the Nets yesterday?
No, I did not.
KD's looking pretty solid. Him and James Harden. Pretty decent start. And Harden kind of alluding to their maturity as the main reason for their success, for their on-court chemistry so far this season. Harden did say, we were young in Oklahoma City. Of course, when they played back in Oklahoma City a few years ago, or 2012, I guess it's been longer time than it feels like, 2009 to 2012. He says, we are grown men now. We know what we want. We really know the game of basketball now. We are not those young guys that want to run around and just shoot and dunk all day. And then, for me, I sit back and I know what player Durant is. He's one of the best players to ever touch a basketball, complementing each other pretty well. Cam, what do we think of Harden and KD so far? I mean, it's pretty much lived up to its expectations.
I mean,
here,
yeah,
in the early
they've
going.
They've been great together, and I mean, they complement each other pretty well. It's just, we're all kind of just waiting. We're waiting on Kyrie to get back, and that's when you're gonna find out how good this team can actually be, or if he just throws a whole wrench in their plans and stuff. Because, yeah, Kyrie's. He's either going to make you a lot better or he's going to cause a lot of problems.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Interesting to see how that dynamic does work out when Kyrie gets in the mix, how that triple header will work. But, yeah, so far so good for Harden and KD so far this season. We'll see what happens. We had a little Tennessee news that kind of went under the radar. We had offensive lineman Wanya Morris transferring to Oklahoma. We had A&M and Oklahoma look like where his top two choices end up going to Oklahoma. Just another one of those transferees heading to another big school, Oklahoma. Curious to see how Wanya Morris does over there in the Big 12 in that spread offense. That'll be interesting to see. And you brought up Kyrie Irving, some other kind of good news, positive news coming out of the NBA. Really good thing. You know, Kyrie Irving, he's gotten criticized a lot here in the last couple of weeks for, of course, not being on the court, for kind of missing a lot of games, missing game checks, all that stuff going on. But Kyrie, he did buy a house for the family of George Floyd. You guys see this? Really, really good deed here for Kyrie Irving.
He does a lot of good stuff out in the community. He does, man. He's just a head case and just kind of a weird guy.
Right.
But he's a good person.
He is. Earlier in July of this year, or I guess last year, still feels like 2020, but he said, or it does say he committed $1.5 million to supplement the income of WNBA players who chose not to play during the 2020 season in their bubble. So, a little shout out to Kyrie doing a couple of good deeds there, as he has, like you said, for the offseason. But still, I'd love to see him get on the court at some point as well. Cam, your Falcons found a GM finally. Hired a new Terry Fanaut. Is that how you say it?
Somewhere in there. I honestly have no idea. I've yet to like watch a broadcast or anything where anybody has like said the name out loud.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do we make of the Falcons getting their GM? They got their head coach. Looks like Arthur Smith's going to have his press conference upcoming today. A little later today. So
I'm excited. Yeah, former good hires.
Yeah, former VP pro personnel of the Saints. So still in one for the division rival. That's always smart, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Love it, especially as they're going down the drain. It's perfect. I'm still having a great time. Go right from that coaching search right into the Tennessee one. I'm just a great time.
Just an off-season of coach searches. Always got to be fun, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Moving on. Some more kind of NFL news. Did you guys see the Goff and McVay story? Oof. How marriage needs a little bit of counseling. Is what Steve Wash reported from NFL.com. So apparently tensions, relationships between Goff and McVay, despite winning a playoff game, a little off right now. McVay did tell reporters Saturday that Goff is the quarterback, but of course he had to add the right now at the end of that sentence as talking about, who their quarterback is for the future. So not a huge boast of confidence there for Goff, you would say, going as the starter into next season. Hayden, I'll ask you, Goff, what are the odds that he stays in a Rams uniform next year? Do you think that they could potentially make a change despite winning a playoff game this year?
Well, how many years does he have left on his deal? They'd have to do a trade, pretty much. They're not going to release him.
Right. The question is, what teams would want Jared Goff at this point?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much. I'm going to look it up, but I'm not positive how much dead cap they'd have to take on either. I think it's a pretty big number right now.
Potentially a team like, maybe the Bears would be interested. I don't know what their cap situation is, but I don't think that they're confident in Trubisky going forward. They're probably going to cut ties with Foles.
Trubisky's contract's up too.
Yeah, that's about the only team I could see, to be honest. I don't know what Cousins' situation is in Minnesota, but I think Chicago would be, potentially interested. Was that same draft? Was that is that right? Did Goff go before Trubisky in that draft?
Or I believe it was Goff Wentz, 16.
Okay.
But two similar kind of quarterbacks so far. Two high draft picks have kind of had up and down starts. Got to playoff games, but Goff obviously got to that Super Bowl. Does look like dead cap for 2021,
yeah,
65
it's
million.
Brutal, man.
Oh my
65
goodness.
Million if they cut Jared Goff this year. Golly. So I'm assuming that they probably won't cut ties with him this year. If anything, they try and wait the next year when it's only a $30 million hit.
Yeah. That's rough, though.
I've been
John
jumps all the way down to 8, but I don't know if you want two more
thoughts
years
on the on the broken relationship between Goff and McVay. You see that the marriage needs counseling is what the report's coming out.
Well, you know, usually you have a debate on who you keep between the quarterback and the coach, and I think everyone knows who you keep in this situation.
Yeah,
between the quarterback and
the guy that's undefeated at halftime when he's leading at halftime. Yeah,
the guy. I'm not keeping the guy that people were like, "Hey, we should play John Walford over him." That's not the guy.
Yeah,
that's not the guy I want.
So, do you think Goff? What are the odds he's in a uniform upcoming this year? I mean, do you think they do
in a Rams uniform?
In a Rams uniform, yep.
I need to look at the cap situation more.
$65 million in dead cap if they cut him this year, or I guess you trade him. Same thing though; it's still, you know, huge dead cap you'd be stuck with.
It sounds to me like it would be smart just to have him on the team as a backup, but like I don't know if you can do that. It seems to be a no-win situation for the Rams right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do they even have a first-round pick this year, or are they still paying off the Jaguars for Jalen Ramsey?
Kind of want to say they traded it, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know. That'll be another quarterback relationship, quarterback coach relationship. Interesting to look at
any
this
other
offseason. Yeah, I'll go with some baseball news. Hayden, saw the big news with the Mets firing their GM, Jared Porter, after the texts and the images and everything that was going on with him and the reporter. Any thoughts on this news? I guess no surprise, right?
Well, he got off to a good start there with Lindor, but. Flamed out pretty quick.
That's 62 straight unanswered texts.
Yeah. Hint for the guys out there, if you send 62 texts to the same person and they don't reply, they're not interested.
Well, I mean, I've sent, like, max, I feel like 3. Right? Like, I mean, you don't.
You're so they've uncovered some of them. You're so pretty. Do you have a boyfriend yet? Followed by a selfie. Like, I'm wearing, like, a weird
That's
thing
always
over
weird.
His head.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Which picture do you like the most? Do you want to see more? Question mark about 5 hours later. Hello, beautiful.
Like, bro.
Yeesh.
What's the most you've ever sent in a row to someone?
Like I said, like...
Three,
four. Don't lie. This is a moment of truth right now.
Three, too.
I mean, I feel like 3 is acceptable. 3 has to be the cutoff, though. You can't send
a
4.
Yeah, I don't think I...
You don't think so?
And, of course, I'm not talking about... Because sometimes, you know, I'm a short texter.
I was about to say, what if you are sending multiple messages that are all one text?
That doesn't count.
Okay,
that's
gotcha.
One train
that's
of
what
thought.
I meant, like 4, yeah.
Yeah, that's one train of thought.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I am that type of texter. I don't send, like, one long message. I'll send, like, 4 choppy ones.
Same.
Which, if you have your sound on, might drive you crazy. But, hey, turn your sound off, weirdo.
Who has your sound on? Yeah.
But 62.
62's a little much, I think.
Maybe pushing it.
I mean, maybe in my younger days I sent 3, but I don't get past 2 these days.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not the same now. You're just I'm going to cut this.
And that's not even counting, like, you know, like someone, like, letting the conversation end the night before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, like, if I fire off, one text to start the day, no reply, the second one will probably be, like, a little hateful.
Getting a little sassy.
And no reply then. I'm done. Like,
done with it.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I can't do 3 these days.
Yeah.
Like I said, maybe in my younger days, I'm 30 years old, though. I got to limit myself at 2 these days.
None of us should have to send that third text.
Know your worth. Know your worth,
we're
kings.
All kings in here. Come on.
Know your worth.
No third text.
62 straight is psychotic. Now,
with selfies in there, too.
and it does seem like they might be counting his, like, he's firing them off at the same time.
Probably.
So it's not 62 straight times hitting them up first, but to then drop a penis picture in there.
Yikes.
It seems pretty tough, too.
With no response still. I mean, how do you come to the conclusion, like, this is what I should send to get a response?
How has this man graduated to Mets GM?
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he has the capacity to get that far.
He doesn't seem very stable. And he has worked his way up to Mets GM.
Oof.
Maybe that describes the Mets. Pretty impressive.
Good batch of headlines. I do want to talk some NFL coming up next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks, Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on King.
Didn't NFL yet, but you asking about Jared Goff. got me thinking about Deshaun Watson. As, you know, there's just more reports of just basically his time in Houston being over, and the Texans have kind of come to realize that.
Yep.
You look at the quarterbacks still in the playoffs, and they've kind of flipped the narrative up, you know, flipped the narrative around a little bit because, you know, for the past, it's been rookie quarterbacks, rookie contracts. Right now, there's just one of those guys, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen. Although, I guess Patrick Mahomes is still in his rookie deal, right? Yeah, he's got the extension, but it hasn't kicked in yet.
Deal, yeah, I was about to say.
Okay, well, never mind. We're still gonna have one hope, I guess, for the rookie quarterbacks. Because Deshaun Watson, he's gotten paid. His contract is going to be inflated. Which, you know, starts getting to the point where, you know, some teams are going to look at him as, you know, a great quarterback, but can you win with him if you're paying a quarterback that much money? Because, again, if you go through the history of the recent NFL, you need a quarterback that's a little bit cheaper to win.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson's great. Anywhere from number 2 to number 7 in terms of quarterbacks. I don't know where you guys have him. I mean, I've been a little bit lower on him than most, but some would say he's the 2nd or 3rd best quarterback.
Top 5. I'd say top 5.
Well, if he's available for trade, how many teams do you think are calling about him? How many teams do you think are having a discussion about Deshaun Watson?
Probably about
every team that needs a quarterback. 23
of the 30,
I think you should. I mean, if Deshaun Watson is as great as everyone's acting, like, I mean, is it just every team needs a quarterback, or is it every team besides, like, Kansas City? And, like, maybe Buffalo?
Yeah, there's, like, only, like, 2 or 3 teams that are either too locked up to, you know, actually make the move or stuff like that, but... Yeah, you got to at least call them just to see what they're talking about.
Now, you know, I think with what they're going to ask for, that's going to eliminate a lot of teams because, you know, I don't think the difference between Deshaun Watson and most quarterbacks are going to be worth 4 draft picks and a young player.
Yeah.
But the 2 teams that are linked are the 2 teams at the top, which I don't know if you saw Deshaun Watson last night. He was up in Brooklyn, which is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
He was there watching the Nets and Bucks play. And he's there, and it was kind of funny because, like, he's watching the Nets, who have James Harden, who is basically like, yeah, I'm done in this town. I'm getting trading me, and forced his way out, which it doesn't usually happen in the NFL, but Deshaun Watson is now in that situation where he's like, hey, I'm done in Houston. I'm not playing.
Wow, Deshaun Watson, the Brooklyn confirmed.
Well, I mean, look, the New York Jets are one of the teams that, you know, that are flirting with him.
Oh, man, wouldn't Deshaun be like, really? I get traded to the Jets?
I think the Jets... wouldn't be a bad spot.
The roster isn't as terrible as it used to be.
Come on, guys. Their offensive line's still garbage. I mean, it's just Houston with a new head coach.
Their offensive line ain't terrible.
They have Mekhi Becton. That's it.
Right.
And then he was not even that good.
You have another draft. You got a bunch of free agent money. Like, you know, they have a lot of money.
2 first-round picks this year. Like, you could trade your number 2, and then, like, next year and the year after that's first, and still have a first-round pick this year. You know, get Watson in there.
And, I mean, Deshaun does have, like, no power here, right? I mean,
I think Deshaun has
a lot
of power.
He's got a no trade
when it comes
clause.
To a trade?
Yeah, he has a no-trade clause.
He has a no-trade clause.
So he can almost pick where he wants to go. Okay. Because he's got to approve it. So, yeah, if they're not on his list, he'll tell them no.
Yeah, he has a no-trade clause, and he also, you know, has the power of just telling Houston, hey, I'm going to put a call on Carson Palmer. I got money in the bank. I'm good. I'm not playing for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's unusual that quarterbacks have this power. Like, there aren't very many young quarterbacks who are good that have changed teams. Like, obviously, like Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston recently changed teams. But, again, no good quarterbacks have changed teams. This is probably the best since Jay Cutler left the Broncos for the Bears. And, you know, that was Jay Cutler. No one really ever thought of Deshaun, you know, as Jay Cutler as a top 5 guy. But the 2 teams linked to are the 2 teams right there at number 2 and 3 in the draft.
Yep.
And they both have young quarterbacks that they could possibly package.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have Darnold and some picks or Tua and some picks if you're Houston?
Darnold. That's a good one.
I guess you would think you could fix Tua, and he's, you know, still early into his contract.
Yeah, the contract thing I think matters too. When we're talking about these guys, you know, Darnold's got 1 year left. Whereas Tua would have 3. So if you're going to try to win with a rookie quarterback like we're talking about on a rookie deal.
I think that would be the difference there is you're just like, I don't know if I'm – like, if Darnold doesn't work out, you're like, well, now I just don't have a quarterback anymore. Or if he works out, you got to end up paying him again.
Now, I will say that Darnold's shown more flashes than Tua.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, yeah, I think the contract thing kind of weighs into it. I'm not sure how much, because I'm sure you could still technically sign Darnold for relatively cheap.
I don't,
he has a big year.
I don't know how much I'm giving up if I'm those teams. You know, they got a bunch of draft picks. You can do that. Mm-hmm. Watson's great. I don't know how great. Like I said, if you run through the truly elite quarterbacks, you're not going to find very many four-win seasons on their resumes.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. A great quarterback can elevate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say, you know, Watson didn't have any help, because I know the Texans were in shambles, but he did have Will Fuller for most of the year.
Yep.
He did have DeAndre Hopkins, you know, most of his career. Speaking of the Dolphins, I mean, they would have some pieces there, but just, you know, you would consider Brian Flores a pretty good coach so far, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I love Brian Flores.
What did he coach before he got a head coaching job? Patriots linebackers. You know who else coaches the Patriot linebackers right now? I mean, everyone would say that Brian Flores has been the best Belichick disciple, right? I mean, I think that's, you know, I guess you could say Bill O'Brien won some divisions, but, like, at least of everyone else.
Yeah.
Flores does seem to be the most promising. He overachieved in year one of the Dolphins, and, you know, they won 10 games in year two, and he seems pretty sharp. He seems pretty fiery, and the players love him. Just saying. Just pointing it out. Pointing it out, Brian Flores coached the Patriots linebackers before getting a head coaching job.
It's also the NFL, though.
I think it's tougher to be good in the NFL than it is college. You think it's the opposite? You think it's harder to be good in the
I feel like recruiting is a big aspect of college there.
I would agree with Hayden here. Yeah. I think college football is definitely way harder.
I don't think recruiting's that
tough. A lot more work, I think.
Recruiting's not around. You can delegate. All you got to do is give them money in McDonald's bags. That's all you got to do. And just don't snitch on yourself. Just drop off the bag.
You can delegate the work. That's what Pruitt was doing.
It's tougher to be an NFL coach than it is to be a college football coach.
Absolutely. Because you got to think about it, too. Like, even with just, like, relating to the players, a lot of the college kids, like, see you as an authority figure. A lot of these NFL guys are borderline close to your age, and you're like, and you know, they don't take the disrespect and stuff.
I don't know. I mean, Bill Belichick was kind of an authoritative figure, right? And he won quite a bit of Super Bowls. I mean, he let Gronk do his thing
all
and dance
players,
or whatever.
The players that all talk about Belichick act like that's not how he is.
Yeah, they
basically, again, go watch the Gerard Mayo clips talking about culture and talking about, like, doing your things. I'm just simply saying he's pulling the curtain back from the most successful NFL franchise of the last 20 years. Maybe the most successful run in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the Cowboys won a bunch of championships at one point. The Steelers won a bunch of championships. They didn't do it over 2 decades. This has been 2 decades of sustained excellence. And one of the first clips he said when he was talking about culture was they had just hired a quote-unquote Hall of Fame-level defensive back. I'm assuming it was Darrelle Revis.
Yeah.
Said he made some good plays in practice. Bill just looked and walked off. And after the practice, Revis came up to him. He didn't say Revis, but he said the player came up to him. He's like, Gerard, why didn't Bill, you know, why didn't Bill tell me good job? Does he not like me? He's basically like, no, you do your job. That's what you do here. Like, you're supposed to break up these passes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you tell these guys when they come in.
Mm.
You simply line up, you do your job.
Don't reward them for doing what they're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do.
It's all about culture. And, a guy that's been around the most successful coach for the last 20 years. Just somebody that, you know, I'm interested in here. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And, again, if there's been one successful Belichick disciple, been the guy that was a linebacker's coach, that young, energetic black man that can connect with the players that players love.
Was it Romeo Crennel, a defensive guy from New England?
Yeah. I'm not saying you just hire any guy.
I'm just saying he didn't work out too well. I think it's just kind of hit or miss on some of these guys.
He had a couple good years in Notre Dame.
Easy.
He did have a couple good years.
I mean, he did, but.
Now, the problem was he couldn't recruit. But, again, I don't remember Charlie Weiss being a top 10.
The NFL McDonald's bags weren't getting away from him.
The McDonald's bags, yeah. He ate the money, too. He ate the cash as well. He just kept eating. He's like a horse, man. The only thing they spit out is rocks. That's it.
Gerard Mayo's not coming here, John.
Look, you can laugh at me. You can call me crazy. But if you're one of those people that's been talking about T. Martin, Jason Witten, Peyton Manning.
Jason Witten.
That's what Dan Patrick's talking about today. I guarantee if you polled this fan base, you'd get a lot more people. Maybe more so on Facebook from your neck of the woods, Hayden, up in Northeast Tennessee.
They love Jason Witten.
Give Witten
their
a shot. Give Witten a shot. Hire Peyton. Peyton for OC. Hire T. Martin, who didn't even get to call plays at USC. He had to call like the first two and then third down. They're like, hey, we got to bring in somebody else on third down.
We've not clutch enough on this
game. Now, those are the only four options there, John. I agree. That I'm just saying, probably the best option.
No, I'm saying I've listened for years people talk about those guys. Guys who didn't have the resume that Mayo has. Allow me to talk about Mayo. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And Mike Farrell, big brain, knows his recruiting. Did you see his hot board today? Did you see it?
I didn't see it. What was it, John?
Ball's candidates, according to him. Bill O'Brien.
Hey.
Hugh Freeze.
Like it.
Billy Napier. Yeah. Gus Malzahn. Gerard Mayo, parentheses, my choice.
Oh.
Jamie Chadwell, Tom Herman, Kevin Still. Did you hear that part about Gerard Mayo? Parentheses, my choice.
I think Mayo would actually be a great recruiter here. Like, think about how relatable he would be to the kids.
That's what,
you know?
That's what the national recruiting director of Rivals.com says, the godfather of football recruiting, 23 years and counting, IG at Rivals Godfather. He said Gerard Mayo would be his choice. But sure, Hayden, you know more than the godfather.
There's a reason he said my choice.
Can he recruit? Oh, I don't know. Yep. The national recruiting director for Rivals.com thinks he can recruit. But sure, Bill O'Brien will be a much better recruiter. What are we trying to sell here? NFL? Shared experiences? I'm just saying, you could do a lot worse than a guy with a top 10 pick that lived the life that everyone that he is recruiting lived.
Yep. And learn from Bill Belichick on top of that.
Oh, and learn from Bill Belichick.
Don't even have to mention that part yet. Yeah.
The undisputed GOAT was named team captain year two. Could he recruit? Oh, I don't know. I'm sure there are other coaches.
Yeah, we don't know. We've never seen it.
I'm sure there are much better. I'm sure there are much better candidates with a much better resume than that that can relate to young players that you're trying to get to the NFL and have be successful in the NFL. Which, by the way, people say, "Oh, well, he only have 2 years of coaching experience." Because when he quit playing football, he went and started. He went and got involved in a tech business and worked his way up to vice president of that.
Man, it's just a grower.
You always going to tell these players, "Look, the average NFL career is 3 years." I was lucky enough to make it 8 before I had to retire. You know, despite being Defensive Rookie of the Year, by the way. I forgot to mention that part. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm going to tell you, Mr. and Mrs. Mother and Father of top-level recruit. I'm going to teach your son the importance of an education, the importance of not relying on football for his entire life. We're going to take him up here. We're going to turn him into a man. We're going to get him ready to go. That's what he's going to sell you.
Get him successful on the field and in life.
And that screams integrity right there.
And that screams
integrity.
And, hey, Peyton Manning wants an NFL guy. Mm-hmm. He's got an NFL guy right here. Again, Defensive Rookie of the Year, by the way.
Okay, you're starting to warm me up on some Mayo.
Stud. Mayo, I'm reading from his Wikipedia page. Ooh. Mayo has a well-known work ethic. That earned him a reputation as a player who shows up early, stays late, watches film, practices hard, and puts himself through intense workouts.
That's what I like from a coach.
Is it that everybody in the NFL?
No.
No?
Oh, okay.
It ain't Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
It ain't Isaiah Wilson. We're talking about Deshaun Watson. We're talking about the Dolphins. Brian Flores casually came up. I wanted to point out that everyone thinks he did a really good job, and you know he was never a head coach before. He coached the Dolphins, the Patriots linebackers, and he seems to be pretty successful. That's all I'm pointing out. That's all I want to say. You know, and I don't know about you guys, but when I was giving his recruiting pitch, you guys seemed to get pretty motivated and pretty fired up.
I had some goosebumps.
I did have a little goosebumps too myself. Not gonna lie.
And like I said, you know, just something to consider for you guys. Mm-hmm. Just if you want to roll the dice on some college coach that maybe will work, and if they do work, the ceiling's going to be 7 or 8 wins, then go for it. If you want to go out and hire a potential superstar like me and Mike Farrell would, there's room on the board. You can come be on the board of the Gerard Mayo fan club. It's me, Mike Farrell, and Ramon Foster so far.
Ramon vouched for him, too?
And Gerald Riggs. Gerald Riggs Jr. also said to go hire Mayo. So.
Building the roster.
Yep. Yep. There's room, Hayden. You want to come?
No. You lost me on the tech point. I don't even know what that's doing.
No, that's important.
That's impressive that you could just go become a company.
I'm simply pointing out why
he
didn't go straight from playing football into coaching when he only has 2 years. Not to mention he was a coach on the field. Your middle linebacker. He's doing all the coaching on the field. I would say that. I would say playing in the NFL at a high level is a pretty good, pretty good experience.
You know what they call the
maybe more important than Jamie Chadwell coaching at Valdosta State or wherever the hell he was.
They call it the quarterback of the defense.
That's what they call it. Caught the head coach of the defense, too.
He was running that defense, basically.
But sure, if him being at North Greenville and Delta State gives him a leg up on Undrawn Mayo,
Delta
sure.
Delta State.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm starting to like some mayo.
Yeah, I mean.
Think.
Do you think Ole Miss regrets hiring Hugh Freeze after 1 year as a head coach?
Don't think so. Well,
they got to number three in the country twice. They ride with that. He didn't have coaching experience. He didn't have coaching experience. 1 year, that doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 30 years in high school.
Oh, high school. Wow. Okay. Jeez, wait, you tell me that? I didn't know he was a high school coach.
I'm just saying, he had head coaching experience before him.
They do a lot of recruiting there and running a program. You're right.
They do at those private schools.
Oh, yeah, do they?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
And that's illegal, too. No wonder you got to cut.
Exactly, Cam.
Yeah. Whatever.
Gerard Mayo has integrity.
He does. He understands culture.
He's definitely not going to get caught handing out McDonald's.
Would Jerome Mayo even want to come to UT?
According to Ramon Foster, he talked to him and he said, yes, he wants it.
Would you not want to come head coach at your alma mater?
Do we not?
I'm just telling you what Ramon Foster said. If you want to call Ramon Foster a liar, I'll tag him in a tweet and say, Draven's calling you a liar, and you guys can hash it out. If that's what you want
to
do.
And I'm going to take
I would like to hear from Gerard
fight.
Myself.
He would probably talk to you. He'd probably motivate you while he's doing it.
He would convince you.
A motivational speaker? Who is it?
I'm telling you. Watch the clips.
John's been watching these videos all night. He's like brainwashed now.
Yeah, I'm not brainwashed. Really I'm motivated.
That's your only candidate you want now, isn't it?
No.
The one you'd be happy
not
with.
Not the only, no. But I think, again, it all goes back to what we talked about in hour one, gentlemen. It's about a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about swinging for the fences. And I am here to try to hit a home run. That's it. I'm here to try to hit a home run. I'm tired of saying 8 wins would be cool. That's it. Maybe you haven't gotten jaded yet, Mr. Birthday Boy. Maybe at age 20 you have a whole life ahead of you and just getting to 8 wins would feel cool for you. Not me. Championships are nothing. That's it. That's what I'm after.
Draw Mayo's not a home run hire is what I'm saying.
He could be. You don't know. He could be.
So could anybody.
No.
No.
No, they couldn't. Kevin Steele's not a home run hire. Bill O'Brien's not a home run hire. We have evidence that says they are not home run hires. Tom Herman, not a home run hire. We have seen evidence of that. Lane Kiffin won 5 games at Ole Miss this year. I'm not saying it's Lane's fault, but I don't think Lane's going to win much more than 8 or 9 next year.
So basically,
you know, best case scenario, I'm saying for Kiffin.
So basically, you want Gerard Mayo to come coach his alma mater that is in just complete despair. That's probably going
to
be dealing with a bowl ban.
I don't know how
investigations.
Much I don't know
how much we've not seen this guy. This would be his first.
We don't know. Like we self-reported.
This would be his first time coaching in this complete mess.
Head coach.
He's never. We don't know if he can recruit. We don't know any of this. But he's going to be. He's a home run hit.
The thing about the home run is you're swinging for the fences. Do you watch baseball? I thought you were my baseball guy, Hayden. What are we doing in baseball these days? We're not trying to get singles and doubles anymore. Analytics say swing for the fences. Strike out or home run. That's what I'm after. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Precisely. Either we strike out and we do this again in 2 or 3 years, or we hit a home run and we jog around the bases and we're a hero. That's where I'm at it. Draw a walk. Lean in, get hit by a pitch. For what? Still hard to score from first base. We got 2 outs, by the way. They were going to string 3 hits together, score a run? I don't. That's all I'm simply saying. Swinging for the fences.
All I'm simply saying is if he's so good and such a home run hire, why would the Philadelphia Eagles not hire him?
I don't know.
Why would they give him an interview?
They gave him an interview, but like they're only going to hire.
Why would Tennessee even have a chance if he's the best option
in the
NFL? You're acting like the Brian Flores is the best hire that's in the last 3 years in the NFL.
Brian Flores has been a really good hire. I think he has been the best hire the last two years.
Why would the Eagles not hire Gerard Mayo?
They haven't hired anybody yet. We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know. I mean, but the Eagles are, are we going to act like the Eagles are aren't an exponentially better job than Tennessee? The Philadelphia Eagles are one of the top 10 coaching jobs in America.
They just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were in the top 10.
2 years ago,
like,
3 years
ago. Does Gerard Mayo deserve a top 10 coaching job in America? Well, no, probably not. Does he deserve maybe one of the 50 best?
We're going for
a
home run here, John. We're going for a home run.
We are. The Eagles aren't. It's different. The Eagles are in a position of power. I know that they just won 4 games this year, but they won a Super Bowl like 3 years ago. What are we talking about? Being an NFL coach is the best football job you can have outside of maybe Alabama, USC, and maybe Texas. Like, I mean, like, and I don't even know if USC and Texas are better these days. Urban Meyer looked at Texas and said, nah, I'm good. I'm going to the Jaguars. It's a whole different ball game up there, boys.
Yeah, none of our other candidates have interviews with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. You see Doug Marrone getting called by anybody? You see Bill O'Brien getting lined up for any head coaching jobs, boys?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nick Saban hit up Bill O'Brien.
Not yet. Yeah, that's it. Nick Saban was like, hey, Nick Saban was like, hey, you can come be OC here, and Doug Marrone will take you as an offensive line coach, maybe. So that's what you're looking at. Anybody line up to hire Lane Kiffin besides Ole Miss? I didn't think so. Anybody line up to hire Hugh Freeze? Auburn didn't even call him. So what the hell are you guys talking to me about? My coach that I want didn't get hired for one of the 10 best jobs in America while everyone else isn't even getting interviews. Newsflash. Hugh Freeze is at Liberty. Jimmy Chadwell is at Coastal Carolina. Lane Kiffin is at Ole Miss. None of these guys are in high demand, okay? Tom Herman just got fired. We know those guys have flaws. We know those guys have baggage. We know those guys have a ceiling. All I'm simply saying is I'm here to win. Don't you want to win? Don't you want to be a champion? I do. If I was calling the shots over at Tennessee, we'd be swinging for the fences. We ain't hiring Butch Jones from Cincinnati. We ain't hiring Derek Dooley from Louisiana Tech. Yeah, they're quiet now. You see that? They're motivated. They're motivated. They've been messed up. They got me fired up. And look, Nat, you believe me? About, you know, I could have got the team motivated. We'd have beat Georgia State if I was the head coach. You believe me?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I could have motivated them, David. You were not beating Georgia State. I could have got them motivated, David, because we came out lethargic and I'd be in that locker room screaming about their future. This is what we've been waiting for. We had to make a statement. Tennessee's back, blah, blah. At least we'd have been fired up and we went to throw a swing pass on play one and had a turnover and put ourselves behind the eight ball the entire game. That's all I'm saying. Why didn't the Eagles hire him, John? Great question, Hayden. Why couldn't he get one of the 10 best jobs in America? Okay, he must suck then. Great job by you. Yeah, that's what I thought. Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Tennessee put cash in McDonald's bags and handed it to recruits. That's the headline that just came across the board. What a disaster. What a disaster. Every time I speak, people get closer and closer to the Mayo Mobile. We're filling up. You boys better hop
Mayo
on.
Mayo Mobile.
Boys better hop in. The Mayo Mobile is filling up.
You think Chaney thought a burger was in those McDonald's bags?
There's a reason that Chaney didn't get to hand out the McDonald's bags. Yeah. Let's just leave it like that. There's also probably a reason why all of our staff has gained 30 pounds over the last couple years.
It's all coming together.
We had a lot of McDonald's. We had a lot of McDonald's laying around.
You gotta go to McDonald's to get the McDonald's bags. So,
how disappointed do you think Chaney was if he did pick up a McDonald's bag and there was just cash in there and not actual food? He was probably like, "God damn it!"
Guess I'm just gonna eat those.
Just $10,000? No, I'd much rather have a burger right now. Have we talked about the future of Jim Chaney? Like, I mean, I imagine.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, he's out.
I'd imagine he's out, right? Surely. But I mean, he wasn't one of the coaches. You know, it was Shelton Felton and Niedermeyer who got fired with cause, along with, I think 6 or 7 other just support staff members, assistant coaches and recruiting people.
And I honestly thought that Ansley would be included in that because that was rumored that he was part of it too, but he was kind of looking around trying to
Well, Ansley's looking around because Ansley came here and Ansley was a rising star that made a bad decision. That's what I'm saying. He made a bad decision. He was an NFL coordinator that made a bad decision. Probably like come here and be a head coach, and much like Bob Shoop, who came here and made a bad decision. And I would say Jim Chaney, I don't know if he regrets it or not, because it wasn't like his career was necessarily trending upward. Georgia wasn't necessarily sad to see him leave. But, you know, if I'm Ansley, I'm trying to get off board, you know, quicker than any of the other coaches because I still have a career to kind of salvage. Because I'm looking right now, if I'm Derek Ansley, I'm like, oh, man, Bob Stoops is really good. And next thing you know, he is the safeties coach at Michigan. Life comes at you fast. Like John Jancic didn't really bounce back. You got to find those good jobs if you're a coordinator as you can.
I think Chaney could be back if we have Steele's interim.
Yeah, I mean, again, if Steele's going to be here, Steele's not going to be the interim. I think we should come to grips with that now. I think we should come to grips that if Steele is here, Steele's the head coach. Is that fair to say?
Permanently?
Well, I mean, not permanently. He's eventually going to be gone.
I mean,
he will eventually die on the field or get fired or retire. But, yes, no, Steele will be the 3 or 4 year plan at least. I think if he is a 1 year plan, he has to be a 3 or 4 year plan. Again, Luke Fickell worked at Ohio State as an interim coach because they were like, you know what? We're Ohio State. We're going to go get Urban Meyer and everything's going to be okay. And keep in mind back then, you could have an interim coach, hire somebody, and still have 3 months to recruit before National Signing Day. Like, you could hire somebody in November and have until February to sign, you know, to sign people up. Now you can't do that anymore. Signing Day is, for all intents and purposes, now is in December. So you can't get through a season and hire somebody in November because then you're done for. That changes the math on an interim coach. So I think go ahead and remove the idea of Kevin Steele interim coach unless your interim is like 4 years.
A long interim.
Yeah. You know, maybe three, you know, whatever, 3 or 4. The plan would be for Steele to continue as the coach.
And I think that's unlikely with the press conference yesterday saying that they needed 10 years from the next AD and 10 years from the next head coach.
I don't know if that's just positive thinking. Again, it was Philip Fulmer who said that. He never should have been speaking anyways.
Oh, my goodness. What a joke.
The defining
that was.
Moment of Philip Fulmer's AD tenure will be him being asked to describe the Jeremy Pruitt era, to sum it up, and he said that recruiting was, let me swallow like 3 times to take a pause. You can see my life flash before my eyes. I'm so embarrassed. The recruiting was good.
He knew he screwed up when he just mentioned recruiting off the bat.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well,
now realize that that's also because we were cheating so much in recruiting. Yeah. I was just thinking it was because the recruiting wasn't very good.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, we were finished, like, outside the top 5 in the SEC. That's what I was thinking. I didn't realize he was praising the recruiting that we were doing because we were cheating. It all just finally clicked with me. Yeah. I've been slow on the intake there. That's even worse. Mm-hmm. That's so much worse. I was just thinking it's because the recruiting wasn't very good. Nothing to write home about. Nobody's really getting developed. No, these players are either here and not good, J.J. Peterson, or gone as 5 stars, Wanya Morris. I forgot. I didn't really connect the dots that he was praising or recruiting because, you know, we were cheating and dropping bags of cash off either at the hotel lobby or in McDonald's bags.
That's why he hesitated. He couldn't think of anything else he did good. I shouldn't say recruiting, but...
He went blank when he thought.
It's already out of my mouth. I gotta finish this sentence.
The relationship with fans not very good. Really from the get go. I mean, we just mad at everybody for not coming to the orange and white game.
Yep.
Or the open spring practice, whichever one it was.
I think it was orange and white game.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that'd be the same thing. I was thinking the open practice before the game. Mm. But yeah, it was the orange and white game.
We have open practices before games.
But he wouldn't yell at us like in.
Oh, yeah.
The end of August about showing up. He wouldn't yell at us about that. It'd be too close to the season. Thing is, I really wanted Jeremy Pruitt to succeed.
Yeah.
That's what makes this tough is I wanted Jeremy Pruitt to succeed here. You know, I know people are now like, I'll get out of here, Bammer. You're sitting here to make us feel all that stuff. But, like, I thought Pruitt understood the fan base. Again, I don't know how great of a relationship they had, but I thought he understood what the expectations were. And he's from the era where he viewed Tennessee as a good job. I like the way he handled the off-the-field stuff this, you know, last year, I guess, at this point. I like seeing him march with the players. I liked him, you know, feeling like he had the players back. Even the players that wanted to leave, he always was open about the transfer portal. Like, I'm a transfer myself. I transfer from MTSU. I understand that, not, you know, you can get better situations in other places, and I want the players what's best for them. I liked a lot of the things he said. Ultimately, though, it didn't matter. And he's gone. I'm not going to dance on his grave. I hadn't built up the animosity that we had with Derek Dooley or Butch Jones. Now, I will say that yesterday still felt a little bit like a celebration for us here on Talk Sports because, like, I know that he's not good enough to win here. Like, investigation aside, he wasn't good enough to win big here. And again, I'm in the business of I want championships. I want to feel like we're elite. Going 8-4 doesn't do much for me. For better or worse, spin the wheel. That's where I'm at. But with Pruitt, I do feel like he wanted to be good here. I do feel like he tried here. I hadn't grown up that animosity, but it was time for him to go. You guys listened to the drive yesterday? They were acting like it was a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, they said it was the darkest day in Tennessee football history.
That was August 31st, 2019.
Again, Georgia State David over here says that was August 31st. That was a pretty bad day. You are correct. That was a bad day.
I don't know. Getting beat by Kentucky this year is pretty bad.
That was rough.
Firing Jeremy Pruitt yesterday is not the darkest day in Tennessee football history.
Yeah.
And also, I see Russell taking shots at me on his Periscope, by the way. I saw that, Russell, if you're listening.
What'd he say?
What did he say?
If you want Gerard Mayo, you're basically like the people wanting Peyton Manning. I hear you, Russell. Loud and clear. Yes, wanting the Papa John's pitching guy who would rather hang out at his bar on campus with Morgan Wallen and Kenny Chesney. Wanting him to coach Tennessee is the same thing as wanting a guy that's learning under Bill Belichick and actively interviewing for head coaching jobs. Great point by you, Russ. The drive always ahead of the curb there with the takes. Good job by you. I heard you. I heard you taking shots. I heard it. I didn't actually hear it, but people sent it to me. Shots fired.
I wouldn't go that far. I don't think he's coming here, though. But
I mean, that's understandable. I mean, we don't have to have that
discussion.
You could
hope, John.
I mean, I do hope, because I'd hope that we eventually become elite. And a lot of these candidates aren't going to get us to elite. And then, again, that's the biggest mindset. And that's what I want to know what Tennessee wants. The biggest red flag for me is when you start talking about a coaching search, or you start talking about a coaching situation, a coaching status. There's one word that always makes me cringe. You know what that word is?
What is it?
You want to take a guess what that word is that just makes me cringe when we talk about coaching status, coaching hires? Any guesses? One word. Just one word is all it takes.
Safe?
It's close. That's close. I was thinking stability, just because, because I'm talking about when you're ever wanting to fire a coach, too. We can't. It's got to be stability. We got to keep a guy for 5 years. No, you don't. You spin the wheel. You hope it comes up with something good. Every now and then you're going to hit bankrupt. Every now and then you're going to hit bankrupt.
What's the odd of hitting bankrupt 4 times in a row now, though?
We've hit 3.
Yeah.
So it depends on what you view it as. Like, what are the percentage chances of going bankrupt? Because I was thinking Wheel of Fortune, and, you know, the bankrupt's not very big there. You know, there's not that many chances. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're just looking at, like, a pass-fail, like, it's 50%. But, like, hitting bankrupt, 30% chance? So you say 4 times in a row. I don't care about what it was before we started. We've already gotten through there. All I'm worried about right now is what's the chances of hitting bankrupt right now. Now, you might even say it's higher than 30% at this point when you consider, like, you know, some people think these sanctions are going to be bad, that it's a train wreck, that it's a dumpster fire and all these things. And, you know, with the list of candidates, maybe 30% is too low.
Do you think we have better options this coaching search than last coaching search?
Well, yeah. I think we have better options simply because we're the only team hiring somebody right now.
Yeah, I agree.
That is true. You know, that's what Sean said on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. But, like, last time we were competing against Florida, and, I mean, Florida got the guy that we should have hired in Dan Mullen. So, at the very least, like, you had to compete with them in your own division, and they got the better of you. Mm-hmm. But this time around, like, you are hiring after Texas, and no one else is hiring anybody. So, I think we are in a much better situation. Just when it comes to candidates. Now, again, the later you get, the harder it gets to get somebody to leave in February, to leave their team, kind of hang them out to dry. That gets tougher. But, you know, that's the reality of what we did, because we waited, you know, 6 weeks to fire this guy because we wanted to save some money. Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with headlines. We'll play some Tuesday trivia. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Small business.